Continuing on tape one, side two. Will you tell us more about your experiences in social work?
As a student, I did my field work at the Y, at the Child Guidance Center, and then at Juvenile Court. Upon graduation, Herman Passamanic asked me to come work at the Y, where I spent about 4 years organizing the what they then called junior department. The Y had been primarily programmed for young adults, and we organized the junior department and then the teenage department. I was the group work supervisor for a while, the assistant camp director. I organized the first day camp program that the Y had. This would have been in 47. Generally, I worked with some very outstanding people, I felt. Herman Passamanic, Miriam Ephraim, Al Dobroff, Dick Lodge, names that may mean nothing today, but they were important people in the community at that point.
Herman Passamanic.
Yes. Miriam Ephraim, did you know her? Miss Ephraim is still living in New York, and friends keep in touch with her.
Al somebody.
Al Dobroff, who was the personnel director at the National Jewish Welfare Board after he left here. Richard Lodge, who was the national executive of the Council on Social Work Education, worked with me at the Y. Generally, we had top-notch staff, I thought, and a good program. I was the assistant director of Laurel Y Camp, which was the Y's summer camp program for 3 years. And then I changed jobs and moved to Boston, where I worked at the Jewish Community Center there, located in Dorchester, where there were 100,000 Jewish people along Blue Hill Avenue. I worked there as the director of activities at the center, which was called Hecht House, H-E-H-C-H-T, H-E-C-H-T, House. At the same time, I had two part-time jobs, being a single, unattached, no responsibility guy. I was the therapist at Washingtonian Hospital for Alcoholics, and I also taught group work at the Boston University School of Social Work. A lot of interesting experiences. Dorchester, Massachusetts, with its 100,000 Jews, was the center of a lot of bigotry, many conflicts between the Irish kids and the Jewish kids, and I was right in the heart of a lot of that. But we developed the first big golden age program in New England. I hired a volunteer named Sylvia Rothschild, who has since written about 10 books. She's a frequent contributor to the Hadassah newspaper now. Sylvia did our Golden Age Club. We developed programs in that Boston Jewish Center that had never been tried any place before, and they worked. A lot of stories to tell about golden agers and that experience. It's getting late.
Just tend to. We have time.
All right. The years in Boston were fine, and then I came back to Pittsburgh.
Give us a time frame.
I was in Boston from 50 to 53.
50 to 53?
Right. I came back to Pittsburgh to work at what was then called the Health and Welfare Federation. And I worked as the, I'm trying to think what they called it, secretary of the group work Recreation and Camping Division. As such, I was the director of the American Camping Association for Western Pennsylvania. I coordinated the work of about 60, 70 group work agencies, which included the Y's, the Scouts, the Boys Clubs, the Settlements. I was responsible for coordinating the work of these groups, helping plan new services. I lasted on that job about 12 years. And then the anti-poverty program developed because President Johnson said we must eliminate poverty from this country, and I thought it was a good idea. And I went to work as coordinator of the anti-poverty program for East Liberty and Garfield here in Pittsburgh. I worked out of a place called Kingsley House, and for the next 2 years developed programs through which we would hope the poor people could learn new skills, get more education, develop stronger family life. And I didn't kill poverty, but poverty almost killed me. I lost about 20 pounds. I worked 5-6 evenings a week. It was a tough job. We think we made some headway, but I left the anti-poverty program. To go into an agency that I had helped create a few years earlier called Information and Volunteer Services. The idea of this agency was to be a central resource for people who needed help and didn't know where to get it, and people who wanted to give help to others and didn't know who needed their help. So it was a combination of information and volunteer coordination. I was the first executive director. For about 2 years before that, they had part-time leadership, but they hired me to come out of the poverty program into information and volunteer services, where I think we developed some very, very important, exciting programs.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
At the time you were involved at Kingsley House, there was a young man by the name of Johnson and Betters involved.
No, I didn't. Mo Coleman, you know that name? Yeah, he was there then. The director was Robert Haas, H-A-A-S. At Information and Volunteer Services, we developed a 24-hour answering service for people to use if they needed help with family problems, health problems, financial problems, child care problems, problems of the agent. They could call in and we would be able to tell them what agency among the 1,500 in Allegheny County would be appropriate for helping them. So we had social workers 24 hours a day. We published a book called Where to Turn. I guess I dreamed it up and had responsibility for it during the years I was on that job. We also developed volunteer service talent pools where people with particular skills offered to help agencies. We developed a teenage volunteer program, and we developed the RSVP in Allegheny County, which was the Retired Senior Volunteer Program. All of this was part of Information and Volunteer Services. We lost a lot of funding in 1982, and the agency was split, and I became executive of part of the agency that survived, which we called Helpline. And the Helpline idea was at one number, call Helpline, find out where help is available, and I stayed there until I retired.
You mentioned some of the people you knew, some of the experiences while you were working as a social worker, President Nixon, for example. Tell us something about those experiences while you were working as a social worker.
Okay. A lot of good experiences. One of the things that I did at Information and Volunteer Service was build up a very strong volunteer bureau where we matched people's interest in helping others to people and agencies that needed that kind of help. The Volunteer Bureau was very effective, and then in President Nixon's administration, they organized a National Center for Voluntary Action, and I was invited to come to Washington when they had the first anniversary of this National Center for Voluntary Action. Shirley and I flew down with one of my committee people, Mrs. George, whose husband was chairman of the board of Alcoa. And we flew down in their plane and got to the Kennedy Center, where Crone George called over a friend of his. "Hi, George," he said. "Here's Shirley and Aaron." And it was George Romney. And we met George and Lenore Romney. And that same evening, we talked to Sergeant Eunice Shriver, who didn't know us, but we met a lot of people through this National Center for Voluntary Action. And Mr. Nixon greeted us, and Mrs. Nixon greeted us, and we were the only people at the dinner of about 300 to whom the waiter said, "Are you the two koshers?" And we were the two koshers. We have attempted in all these years and getting to some very interesting places to let them know there's only certain food we can eat. And I've never really run into any prejudice or difficulty. At the high school reunion last week, we did make sure there was kosher food for those of us who wanted it. And a lot of others signed up for kosher food who didn't need it but thought it was a good idea. Since leaving Helpline, as I said, I am now on the faculty at Pitt part-time. I'm working with my son, and I am sort of intrigued with this modeling.
Yes.
Upstairs from our store, there's a graphic designer who got a contract for the Department of Transportation and the, I guess it's the County Health Department, to develop some safety campaign to urge people to be more conscious of safety. And the artist was looking for a frail elderly face to be on all the path buses, on the bus cars. And he asked me if I would mind posing, and I rather enjoyed it. And there are thousands of these being distributed now.
Oh, that's marvelous.
So I've made myself available.
May we have this?
I was looking around for the actual bus card that's going to be on the path buses. Shirley, my good wife, is just delighted that my name isn't on there anyplace, so nobody need know it's me. But they're distributing these throughout the area, the path buses. And I didn't write it, I just let them use my face, but I'm having fun with it. I also, a few years ago, got into an NBC Movie of the Week, and I think it's kind of outrageous, but I'm having fun. I was an extra in a picture filmed here with Tyne Daly and Richard Crenna. It was called Stuck with Each Other, and I was an extra, and they shot me walking on the sidewalk outside of Gimbel's, and it wasn't Gimbel, Joseph Horn. And that scene, I think, was cut out of the movie, but what the heck, I was in a Hollywood movie. But I don't know if you want to sum it up at this point. I'm enjoying being the age I am. I didn't say anything yet about what happened to me when I came back to Pittsburgh after Boston. I was introduced to many young ladies as very eligible young men back in town, and I thought marriage was something in the future. I took a trip to Israel with social workers in 1957 and had a great time. The only other Pittsburgher who went was Celia Moss Halpern, who you may know. Celia and I were the Pittsburghers, and there were people from other parts of the country. We stayed in Israel for about 5 weeks, saw everything, and then I came back and was invited to tell about my trip to every Hadassah group and B'nai B'rith women, and I had slides and I showed my pictures all around. I guess in 1958, Shirley Present went to Israel. When she came back, she was showing her slides all around, and I didn't know her, except that her mother and my mother were both active and pioneer women, as was a Mrs. Rabinowitz, whose daughter is a close social work friend of mine, Eve Rabban. You happen to know that? Eve Lodge. Mrs. Rabinowitz said to me, you know, your pictures are so good, and they're the Shirley Present, whose pictures are so good, maybe you could put your pictures together. And I called up Shirley Present, and I said, I'd like to see your slides, and I'll show you my slides, and our slide collections are together now. We got married. Soon after that, Shirley and I...
When were you married?
We were married, what's today? November 7th? November 8th.
Ah!
1959. We started out with our interest in Israel and our interest in family and our interest in... We found so many things we had in common that we didn't waste too much time. I was an old fella, and I said I never got married because I was waiting for her to be born. Shirley was a nurse at McGee Hospital, and I found myself having lunch at McGee Hospital very often, more than I was really hungry. We spent a very wonderful few weeks of seeing each other very, very often, and we got engaged, and her mother said it's too fast, but we met in May and were married in November, lived happily ever after. We lived on Chislett Street in East End first, and then the boys were born. Bill was born in 1962, and Joe was born in 1964. Their high school pictures are behind you there.
A few years ago.
Yep, we had fun helping them grow into fine, decent young men. And as I said earlier, they both had a fine spirit of community service at a very early age. Both of them did a lot of good things. Bill went to public school for 1 year, and then when Joe was big enough to go, they both went to nursery school at Paula's Attic, which is right across the street, and then they went to Hillel Academy, and Bill graduated from Hillel in 1980, I guess. Both boys have an intense interest in Israel. Joe, who's now 26, has been there 5 or 6 times. Bill was there twice. The family, Shirley and the boys and I, went together in 1978, and then Joe found ways of getting there. He was the UJF campus chairman for the United Jewish Federation here in Pittsburgh, so he had to go to Jerusalem for some meeting of campus chairman. He went to spend a summer that was sponsored by the Council of Synagogue Youth had a summer in Israel, and then he had a year at Hebrew University in Jerusalem. That was his sophomore year in college. He also went to be best man at his best friend's wedding. The best friend went to Jerusalem when Joe was there just to visit and decided to quit the University of Chicago and just stay at Hebrew University, met his wife, and Joe and he have continued to be close friends. Bill, the older man, decided after college to go to Israel as a volunteer. And when he got there, they said, "What would you like to do?" This is the volunteers in Israel program. And he said, "Give me jobs that nobody else wants to do." And Bill is 6'5" and a very strong man. And they had him unloading airplane tires from trucks, loading the trucks and unloading the trucks in the heat of an Israel summer. But he didn't complain, and he just thought it was great because while he was doing this, the soldiers or whoever else on that army base didn't have to do it. He toured the country, enjoyed it, and hopes to go again. Trying to think what else. So
what
both
is he
boys.
Doing now?
Bill has a store called Mailboxes on the south side of Pittsburgh. He's the older one. And the younger one's a podiatrist. Joe was graduated last May from the Ohio College of Podiatric Medicine and is now with Veterans Administration in Perry Point, Maryland, which is about 40 miles from Baltimore. His residency is in surgery. Both boys are graduates of Pitt, undergraduate. Bill majored in accounting and had accounting work in several places, including the Jewish Community Center, where his father had worked 40 years earlier. So Bill was at the JCC and now has his own business. Joe is in podiatry. Shirley continued at McGee Hospital until the boys were born, then worked part-time at various nursing jobs, and then went into business for herself while the boys were growing up. She is the, I'm trying to think of a good title, president of Shirley Stationery Company. We have the finest wedding, bar mitzvah, all kinds of invitations, stationery, whatever is needed for the wedding. And Shirley works right here at home. She ran Shirley Stationery Company during the years the boys were growing up so she could be home when they went to school, when they came home from school, when they needed a mother. She was it. She still has Shirley Stationery Company, but she was asked to come back to nursing at the Jewish Home and Hospital for the Aged. A friend was the executive director, and he said, "Could you help us out? There's a shortage of nurses. Come part-time for a few weeks." It's 12 years now. The part-time frequently runs into full-time. She is a supervisor of nurses. She has headed up various departments. She is not interested in full-time work, but they call her almost every day. And she's a good nurse, but she also feels a very special responsibility for the Jewish elderly. There aren't too many Jewish nurses at the Riverview Center for Senior, and I think there are only three of them. Shirley maintains a very warm relationship with all the old people.
They have great need for it.
She's there, and this week she is training the practical nurses. They asked her to take on that responsibility, and she's devoted to her profession, does it well. She's devoted to the older people. We're privileged that Shirley's mother is here with us and lives on Marlborough Avenue, not too far away. But we talk to her about 1,000 times a day. Mm. she calls, we call. Shirley's in close touch with her. And I'm in very wonderful, frequent contact with my two sisters and my brother, and Shirley with her two sisters. One of her sisters lives in McKeesport and one in Harrisburg, but I guess they talk several times a week and visit, and we're very family-oriented. And it's an old-fashioned concept, but we think it's great. The nephews and the nieces, about my own family.
Are the boys married?
Nope, yeah. They're available. My oldest sister, Helen Levine, who is the mother-in-law of Edith Adler's son, Helen moved yesterday to the Riverview Apartments, where we think she'll be happy. She was living in East End. The neighborhood has changed. She needed to get out, and she's at Riverview. Cyril, you know, my brother. Oh, Helen, incidentally, and I don't think it's polite to disclose the age of a woman, but you won't tell anybody. Helen's up in years, and she volunteers once a week at West Penn Hospital. She volunteers at Oasis program at Kauffman's. She takes Henrietta Chotiner's class at the Temple. She just keeps very, very busy, and she's 79, which I guess is young.
That's young.
Yep. Cyril is 76 and volunteers weekly at Montefiore, at the Riverview Center for Jewish Seniors. He works with the reading program for the blind. He has done a lot of volunteer work and continues to do it through B'nai B'rith Men, and just keeps very, very busy. My next sister, Rita Sommerfeld, lives in New York, volunteers at two hospitals in New York, just doing wonderful things for patients, and has her own patient at home. Her husband had a stroke 4 years ago and is completely dependent on her care. So Frida escapes from the homework to get to the hospital to work with patients. And she is the one of our siblings who's away from Pittsburgh, but we are in close touch with her. Now, as far as the boys, they are unmarried, they are eligible, they are people that we're very proud of. They're good looking, they're kind, they're... what else? I don't know if I told
nice,
you what Council of Jewish Women might want to know. I have strong feelings.
We have nobody in our family. They're all married.
I have a son unmarried. It's
the oldest girl coming up is just 13.
Who were you before, Ruth?
Nyman and Al Klippa, the Selkowitz family. Very close to Rabbi Shapiro at Polizetic. Mm. He was like a brother to my mother and father.
Well, Rabbi Shapiro married us.
Married me.
Okay, and then Rabbi Shapiro was replaced by Rabbi Safran, who we are very fond of. And Rabbi Shapiro moved to Montreal and Miami Beach.
Yes.
And a couple of years ago, we were visiting our nephews in Miami Beach and went to shul, and Rabbi Shapiro's son was the rabbi there, and he was there, and I walked up to him. And he hadn't seen me for about 5 years, and he said, Aaron Sachs, 5925 Phillips Avenue.
Oh, that's remarkable.
And it was really something.
Oh, he was a very special man.
Yeah.
Very special.
One of my friends, Sylvia Butler, I should probably stop this.
Or listen to this tape.
Will you tell us about Shirley's mother and father?
Absolutely. Shirley's mother and father, the Presents.
What are their first names?
Saul Present and Fanny Present. Came to Pittsburgh in the early 1920s. A wonderful story is that Fanny Present, whose name was Hirschman, came to the United States on the 4th of July, 1923. And there were fireworks near Ellis Island. And her grandfather said, "We came to America to get away from the fighting and the shooting and the wars, and look what's happening here." They came to Pittsburgh, and Fanny met Saul, who was a leading exponent of Yiddish. He believed very firmly that the Yiddish language has to be maintained. They were quite devoted to Judaism, to Israel. Early Zionists, we have pictures of the group, the Young Zionists, they belonged to before they were married and in those early years. My father-in-law was a printer and first had City Printing, which was in the Hill District, the Bluff, and later Park Printing. And he was a printer all of his life and wanted his children to think about printing, but he had three daughters. And Shirley pleased him very much by going into the wedding invitation and somewhat printing business. My father-in-law knew all the Yiddishists in the country. Wherever there was a Jewish show, a Yiddish publication, he got it. He subscribed to everything that was published. He bought every Yiddish book that was ever written. Any Yiddish record, Jewish music, he got and he enjoyed, and nobody could visit him without listening to his Yiddish records.
End of